It is good to be here. Happy anniversary to you. 62 years, that's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. What a wonderful heritage, and I trust that the coming years will be even greater than those in the past. Amen? Take your Bible this morning, if you would, and open it up to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter 5. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me while we read the Word of God? Beginning in verse number 1, Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can be here this morning, that we can sing songs about the cross and the wonderful relationship that we can have with you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, if there would be one here today who's never trusted Christ as Savior, I pray that they would understand that that is the most important thing in their life and that they would get saved before it's too late. We ask you to bless in everything said and done this morning, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Here in Romans chapter 5, quite honestly, just reading those five verses, we could spend hours and hours just in those five verses, because they are so full of great eternal truth. Therefore, being justified by faith. That one statement alone. Therefore, being justified by faith. That word justified is a wonderful word, because that word justified means that I have been declared just and righteous in the sight of Almighty God. That's an amazing thought. That God would look at me as a human being, a sinful human being, and declare me righteous and pure in His sight. But then the next part clears it all up for us. It solves the mystery. Therefore, being justified by faith. I'm not justified by my works. I'm not justified by my religion. I'm not justified by my baptism. I'm not justified by my church membership. That's not how I'm declared just in the sight of God. I'm declared just by faith. And then it clears it up even more. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? When it talks about being justified by faith, it's not talking about faith as something that stands alone, and I just have lots of faith and my faith is strong. Your faith is worthless unless the object of your faith is strong. And the object of your faith is what makes all the difference, and the object of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. What is it that people are looking for today? Peace with God. They may not even understand that's what they're looking for. You can go anywhere in the world, anywhere in the world, and you know what you'll find? You'll find religion. Lots and lots of religion. Doesn't matter where you go. East, west, north, south, sophisticated, primitive, doesn't matter. Everywhere you go, you'll find religion. Why is there so much religion? Because deep in our hearts, we know that there's a God and there's a problem between us. We know that, and we want to fix the problem. And so the natural tendency of mankind is to do something to fix the problem, to offer a sacrifice, to do something that they would consider spiritual or something that their religion tells them to do in order to gain the favor of God or the gods or whatever form they believe in. They're looking for something to have peace with God, and God tells us in His Word how to do that. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way you can ever have peace with God is through a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. There's no other way. You say, well, if I'm just good enough, then I can get to God one day. Nobody's ever made it to God that way. If I do enough religious things, and if I join the church and follow the rules and do all the things, nope, that's not the way to have peace with God. The only way to have peace with God is through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it just expands more in verse 2. By whom, the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith again into this grace wherein we stand. Can I tell you a little secret? The very same grace by which I am saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the way I live my Christian life. It's by Him we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Just like I got saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I live my Christian life by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He gives me the grace to do all that needs to be done. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Do you see that little word in verse number two? By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's a wonderful little word. Do you know that that word hope in your Bible means, it just means wonderful things. It means more than we normally give it credit for. We use the word hope and we throw it around kind of loosely. I hope it doesn't rain today. Or I hope it does rain today. I certainly hope it doesn't snow today or any time in the near future. I hope we can hold that off as long as possible. Summer ended so fast, and it felt like winter just came without any fall. And so I'm hoping we can backtrack a little and get some nice fall in here somewhere along the line. I hope it's nice. I hope so-and-so comes to church today. I hope so-and-so doesn't come to church today. Whatever it was you were hoping this morning. I hope the food is good. I hope there are desserts. Now, I must confess, I did wander downstairs. I feel obligated before church to wander downstairs and look in the kitchen. And there were some desserts already. And you know what? Some were chocolate. I know you were hoping they would be chocolate. If you don't like chocolate, that's okay. I'll take care of it. It'll be handled. I hope there's dessert and there's chocolate on it, and I hope it's really good, and I hope this. When we use that word most of the time, we are talking about wishful thinking. It's what we're talking about. I hope this, I hope that. That means I would like for it to be that way, but I don't know if it will, and I have no control over it. When you see the word hope in your Bible, it's not just wishful thinking. As a matter of fact, it's not wishful thinking at all. Bible hope is not wishful thinking. As a matter of fact, Bible hope is so solid that as far as God is concerned, it's already done. And what makes it hope instead of present fact is that it just hasn't happened yet. But as far as God is concerned, it's settled. It's finished. It's done. It's on the calendar, if you will, and won't be removed. Bible hope is a solid thing. You know what people are lacking in our world today? Hope. They are. They're hopeless. They watch the news and they feel hopeless. And rightfully so. They read the paper, they feel hopeless, and they look at what's going on around them and the attitudes of people and the direction the world is going, and they're hopeless, and they don't see any potential for anything good to happen down the road. Why is it that those who have the most to live for are those who most often take their lives? You know what the highest rate of suicide, what age group that occurs in? Ages 10 to 34. As a matter of fact, from ages 10 to 34, suicide is the second highest cause of death in the United States of America. From 10 to 34. You look at that age group, those are the people who have the most potential in front of them. They have the most life to live, they have the most opportunities, and yet they are snuffing out their lives. The suicide rate in the United States of America has gone up 30% since 2000. 30%. It has tripled among girls between the ages of 10 and 14. Tripled. How in the world can that be when they have so much to live for and so many opportunities and so much around them? I'll tell you why. Because they don't have any hope. They get in a conflict and somebody doesn't like them and they're upset and they're discouraged and they're disappointed. And instead of getting into the Word of God and finding real hope in Jesus Christ, everything around them falls apart and they snuff out their lives. That's sad. It's sad. No hope. No hope. So where do you get hope? The only place you can get real hope is from God Himself. Bible hope gives you something to live for and something to rejoice in and something to look forward to. And even as we heard from Psalm 100 this morning, something to be thankful for and rejoice in. Hope takes the fear out of death for the child of God. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 32 says this, "The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death." So, well, that just sounds morbid. That sounds awful. Hope in his death. Well, you got to understand what it's talking about. You see, for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, death is not a problem because we know what comes next, and we're actually more excited about what comes next than what's here. Am I right? Amen. Death itself is not the problem. How we get to it is a problem. I'm allergic to pain. I just soon skip any pain involved with it all and make it fast. You know, that's my choice, fast. I don't want slow and painful. I want fast. I just want to close my eyes and open them up in the presence of God, and that's my idea of the best way to meet God, right there. I'm from Alaska. You know that. Spent all my life in Alaska. We'd fly into the villages, Eskimo villages, Indian villages, and have services. And when you go into some of those remote villages, it's easy to get a crowd in January because there is nothing else there. There is nothing. Nowhere to go, nothing to do, and people will show up for church. And I was preaching in the Indian village of Fort Yukon on the Yukon River, right on the Arctic Circle. And the missionary pastor would always say to me before we would fly out of Fairbanks, it's like 2.5 hours, you fly out of Fairbanks, north, up over the Arctic Circle, you land in the village, you fly over the White Mountains and desolate tundra, and he would always say to me, "Brother Rogers, do you have your survival gear? You're supposed to take survival gear in case you crash. A little bitty airplane, you shove all your extra stuff in there. As a matter of fact, in Fairbanks, all winter long, you carry that in the trunk of your car as well. Because if you have a flat tire at 50 below, you're not going to change the tire. You're going to put on all your bundled up stuff and pray that somebody stops to pick you up. You don't get out and change the tire at 50 below. You don't do that. Things don't even work right at 50 below. Things break and snap and you freeze fast. So survival gear is a common thing in that area. He would always say, "Do you have your survival gear?" And I would look him right in the eye, and Brother Madonna, I would just be as honest and sincere as I could, and I would say, "No, I don't have my survival gear. I don't want to survive." I told him, "If you think this airplane is going down, I want you to find the biggest, most jagged mountain peak you can and plow right into it. That's what I want you to do. I don't want you to find a flat spot in the tundra at 40 below and land and expect me to survive for 3 days while somebody finds me and I slowly freeze from the toes up. No, I don't want to do that. Find me a mountain peak, boom, fast, fireball, right in the presence of God." You see, death is not the problem for the child of God. All of us are a little concerned about how we get to that point, though. But that last moment when we take that last breath, and then we open our eyes in the presence of God, that's not something to be afraid of. For the righteous, there's hope. There's hope. It's a wonderful thing to know that our hope is based on something real. Notice I didn't say, when I take my last breath, I wish I would open my eyes in the presence of God. No. Can I be honest with you? I know that's what'll happen. I know that for sure. I have the hope of eternal life, like it says in Titus chapter 1, verse number 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And that's not wishful thinking. That's as good as done. It just hasn't happened yet, that's all. Bible hope takes away shame. We're in Romans chapter 5, Look, if you would, we stopped reading in verse number 2. Look at verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Isn't that something? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We have, in my home church in Fairbanks, Alaska, we have a ministry to folks with addictions and problems. And by definition, if you're involved in that ministry, you have some serious problems going on in your life. And people will come in with drug problems and alcohol problems and all manner of things. And they start in the program, and the first thing you do is give them the gospel of Jesus Christ, because their real need is to know Christ as Savior. And you can see those folks, I've watched them, where they come in and they're just a horrible mess and their life has fallen apart, and they trust Christ as Savior, and the pieces start to fall back into place. And all of a sudden, what was nothing but a disaster becomes a testimony to the power of God. You ever seen that happen? It happens all the time. As a matter of fact, if you look back, you could probably think of some people that you've known and that you've met. When you first saw them, they looked like something that crawled out from under a rock. And they had all kinds of problems and issues. And then they got saved, and they can give testimony of what God has done in their life and how He's delivered them from those things. You see, hope takes away shame. Sin brings shame. It always does. In our world today, what we're really trying to do is take the shame out of sin so that people can sin and not feel bad. You can choose whatever lifestyle you like. You can choose whatever philosophy you like. And if it's good for you, it's good. Really, the underlying basis of that is to make sin acceptable so that we don't feel guilty anymore. The problem is, God won't let us get away with that. You'll still know it. You'll still feel it. Why don't they allow the Ten Commandments to be put up in a public school and places like that? I mean, those are good ideas. Not to kill people. Not to steal stuff. Those are good ideas. Why don't they allow that to be put up there? Because it makes people feel guilty when they see God pointing at them saying, "Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Suddenly they start to feel bad, and we don't want to feel bad, so we hide that stuff and don't look at it. But deep in our hearts, we know, and we know that it's true, and sin brings shame. Hope takes it away. Once you've trusted Christ as Savior, all of a sudden what was a pile of sin now becomes a testimony to the glory of God. Thank God for that. Hope takes away shame, and hope gives a solid foundation for life. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 and 19, he says, "Lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." Listen, you need an anchor for your life. You need something solid that you can build on and stand on. The world will change and the world will fluctuate, and what was popular today will be wrong tomorrow, and on and on and on it will go. But the Word of God never changes. Hope gives a solid foundation for life that you can build on. Thank God. Hope purifies. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 3, it says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Bible hope purifies. Now what it's talking about, we won't go there for the sake of time. You can look it up later if you'd like. 1 John chapter 3. He says one day we'll see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And we'll be like him when we see him as he is. That's the hope he's talking about. Now again, remember, Bible hope is not wishful thinking. The fact that I'm going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, that's not wishful thinking, because I know for sure I've trusted Christ as Savior. That's a settled fact in my life. And so one day, I'll see Him. I'll be transformed and made like Him. And the Bible says, "He that hath this hope in himself, hope in Him, purifieth himself, even as He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is pure." In other words, because I know I'm going to see Jesus face to face one day, then I want to please Him now. I want to live for Him now. I want to try to serve Him now. That ought to be our desire. That's what Bible hope does for you. It gives you something to look forward to and purifies your life. And then the last thing I want you to know is this. Hope brings joy. People with no hope don't have any joy. Hope brings joy. Now, joy is a strange thing because joy is expressed in different ways by different people. It really is. We travel all the time. We are in different churches every week of the year. As a matter of fact, I was telling somebody in the foyer, they said, where are you going next? Well, we start a revival meeting next Sunday at Victory Baptist Church in Fresno, California. So when we leave here, we're going back to our little house in Kentucky. We have one day to transfer everything into suitcases, and then Wednesday morning we have to take off so we can be in Fresno to start next Sunday morning. So we're driving across the country this week. And we're in a different place every week of the year. And we see lots of different kinds of people. And depending on where you are, they express joy a little differently. They just do. Culturally, it's a different situation. We were in High Point, North Carolina. And we were going to be there for several days. I was sitting at the piano singing a song Sunday morning. The wonder of wonders. Oh, how could it be that God became flesh and was given for me? Wonderful song. One of my favorite songs. And right in the middle of the song, a blood-curdling scream erupted from the back of the auditorium. I mean, it was scary. It was loud. It was scary. And I looked and I thought, somebody is being mugged. And nobody was moving. Nobody was having a problem. I thought, well, whatever it was is over. And I kept singing. Pretty soon, blah, there it went again. And my kids didn't know what to do. They turned around trying to figure out what's going on. They were scared. Turns out it was a happy woman. She was just happy. And when she gets all excited, she lets out a blood-curdling shriek. Listen, that'll get your attention in a hurry, I'm telling you. That's just what they do. And you just never know. Sometimes they jump up and down and wave hankies and shout and holler. And I've seen them grab flags and run in laps around the building. I'm talking independent Baptist churches here. We went right from High Point, North Carolina, to a church a long ways away from that and much further north. It was in northern Ohio. And it was just, they were back to back. We went from where they were jumping and hollering and shouting at everything to this well-established church in northern Ohio. And they expressed their joy differently. They didn't holler and shout and wave hankies and jump and all that. They expressed their joy like this. They could do that for a long time. As a matter of fact, I wondered if they were okay for a while. Not a grunt, not a groan, not a smile, nothing, just... And then after the service, Brother McDonald, they'd come to me and say, oh, Brother Rogers, that was wonderful. That just changed my thinking and that helped my heart. And I'm thinking, why didn't you tell me that during the service? I thought you died and we were going to have to call an ambulance. Some people, when they get joy, they wave their hankies and they holler and they shout amen. Other people just, I've seen them cry. Tears come out of their eyes. They're just as happy as the other guy. They're not shouting and jumping. They're just tears coming out of the, or they get a big smile on their face, or they stick their hand up in the air. We're Baptist, so you can only have one hand. You can only have one. And everybody's got their own thing. I carry my hanky with me everywhere. Because I would like to wave it. I would like to get so excited, I pulled it out and waved it in the air. But I'm from Alaska, and we're inhibited. So anytime I get it out, it's like an invisible arm goes, shoves it right back down my lap. And I can amen, but I just can't wave my hanky. Someday, though, someday, I don't know when or how, someday, now I just wipe spit with it, but someday, I'm going to pull it out and I'm going to wave. But deep in my heart, I hear some song about heaven, or I hear some truth from the Word of God, or I hear somebody give a testimony of what God's done in their life. Deep in my heart, there's a little man doing this. He just doesn't come out. That's all. He just stays in there. See, everybody expresses joy in different ways. But listen, if you have hope and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, no matter how you express it, that's not the issue. The issue is it in there? There ought to be some joy in there. Because if there's no joy, something's wrong. Something's terribly wrong. Listen, to know that your sins are forgiven, washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, that your name is written in heaven forever, that when you leave this life, you're looking forward to eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, it shouldn't take very much to make you happy inside. It shouldn't take a whole lot. Sometimes, though, we let the world and all of its problems kind of just pull the joy right out. And shame on us for that. But we need to remember we have a reason for the joy that we have. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it says this, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." You see, Bible hope, it's not wishful thinking. It's real. I was telling the preacher last night, my mother just turned 90 on Friday. And I think last time I was here, I told you about her, and she's had some struggles with her memory, and I told you how she called me when I was sitting next to her on the couch, and we talked on the phone and all that. She's still doing well. She's in good spirits. She's in an assisted living facility now, but she's in a good mood. We sang happy birthday to her FaceTime on the phone on Friday, and we watched her open the presents that we sent, and she's doing well. But Hope and I flew up last year, well, this year, I guess it was, in January. And we spent just a few days there with Mom. I didn't want to wait a whole year because her health was kind of deteriorating, and I wanted to be able to pop in and check up on her. And so we spent a few days there at the house, and I took my phone, and I set it up, and we were just sitting there at the table one morning, and she was drinking her tea, and I was drinking coffee. We're just sitting at the table waiting for my niece to come because she was going to take Mom to a doctor's appointment. And so she had done her hair all up and she's sitting there. And we're just sitting there talking. And I pushed record on the phone. And she didn't know that it could record or that it was recording or she wouldn't have said anything. I just set it there and I pushed record. And I started to ask her questions. And so I have 18 minutes of conversation saved on my phone. And I was just asking her about stuff. She didn't have any problem remembering old stuff at all. So I'm talking to her about when she was a little girl and when she was growing up and all kinds of stuff. And I asked her when she got saved. And she told me. I believe she was 12 years old. She told me the name of the church in Brainerd, Minnesota. She told me the name of the pastor. She told me the address of the church. She told me how to get there from her house. She told me all of it. And she laid it all out there, just rattled it off and told me all the stuff. Listen, I told you she has turned 90. We've told her she should go to 100 because it's only 10 years away. But it won't be long and she'll be in heaven. And we have the hope of seeing her again because we know we're going to heaven for sure. She's got that settled. You could call her and ask her today, Mrs. Rogers, are you saved? And she'd tell you. She'd tell you yes. She'd tell you when and where. She'd tell you all about it. Because of that, one day she'll be in heaven forever. And because of that, one day we get to see her again in heaven. Because I'm saved. What a wonderful thing. Can I ask you this morning, do you have the hope, the settled, sure knowledge that when this life is over, you're going to be in heaven for all eternity? If you don't, you can have that hope before you leave today. You can know that for sure. And that hope is not wishful thinking. It's settled and concrete, and you can build your life on it. Thank God for that. Let's stand together and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we could be here this morning. Lord, thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Not baptism, not religion, not church membership, but in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, maybe there's somebody here today that's never trusted Christ as Savior,
Lord, I pray that they would understand that it is the most important decision in their life. And yet they could choose today to know that their sins are washed away and they have a home in heaven forever. Lord, if there's somebody like that, I pray they get saved today before it's too late. And God, for each and every saved person in this room, help us to rejoice in the hope that you have given us in Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.